Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Getting to like you, getting to hope you like me.
Chairman Kim and I just signed a joint statement in which he reaffirmed his unwavering commitment to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
We had a historic meeting and decided to leave the past behind. The world will see a major change.
My meeting with Chairman Kim was honest, direct, and productive.
It's not a big deal to meet. I think we should meet on a lot of different topics, not just this one. I hope it's good, because if it is, we're going to solve a very big problem. I think we've gone a long way to solving it today. I think he wants to make a deal. Can anybody be certain?
I may be wrong. I mean, I may stand before you in 6 months and say, hey, I was wrong. I don't know that I'll ever admit that, but I'll find some kind of an excuse.
We're prepared to start a new history, and we're ready to write a new chapter between our nations.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway, and it was a made-for-TV moment from our reality star president. On Tuesday, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, met for the first time ever in Singapore. The highly anticipated summit lasted several hours, including 1 hour just between the two leaders and their translators, and an expanded meeting with aides from both sides. Suki Kim is a contributing editor for The New Republic and the author of Without You, There Is No Us, Undercover Among the Sons of North Korea's Elite, and she joins us now from Singapore. Hi, Suki.
Hi, Tanzina.
So we're hearing from a lot of critics that this summit was more about propaganda and show versus being about actual outcomes. What do you say? You're on the ground in Singapore.
Well, I mean, summits should be about an issue that gets agreed, and here there really is absolutely nothing. All, what there is a gigantic show, because there are over 3,000 journalists covering this event.
In terms of the specifics of this agreement or this document, have the two parties even decided what the same criteria would be for something like denuclearization, or are we still up in the air without specifics?
All of it is the same. You know, denuclearization is something that has come up from the beginning. The U.S. said that they will never agree to anything without a complete verifiable denuclearization. And still the terms are North Korea is going to work towards denuclearization. So, I mean, there's literally nothing. I mean, that's what I'm telling you is basically what's the agreement, right? And then also this whole U.S. promising safety of the regime in North Korea. I mean, how do you even guarantee that? Like, that is also another thing that nobody understands. How does one nation guarantee the other nation's regime? So what I'm amazed by being here, there's just no clarification. The mystifying element of this summit that everybody kept asking, why is it happening? What's it about? What are they going to agree on? Those questions remained exactly the same.
Now, you mentioned guaranteeing the regime would stay in place. One of the things that President Trump was asked about was about the thousands of North Koreans in detention camps and gulags. And I want to play a clip from you and see your reaction to that.
Things will change. I think I've helped them. There's nothing I can say. All I can do is do what I can do. We have to stop the nuclearization. We have to do other things, and that's a very important thing. So at a certain point, hopefully you'll be able to ask me a much more positive question or make a statement. But not much I can do right now. At a certain point, I really believe he's going to do things about it. I think they are one of the great winners today, that large group of people that you're talking about. I think ultimately they're going to be one of the great winners.
Suki, your response.
I mean, I don't understand. It's just hard to make sense of what he's saying. Human rights issues are, you know, it's the most devastating issue in the contemporary world, North Korea at the moment. Why is it certain that the North Korean leader will do better? I mean, it's been 70-some years, and their record is the worst in the world. There's nothing that would make anybody feel that they are going to get better. And by having this summit, actually, we've just legitimized the most brutal nation in the world into the world stage. So on human rights issue, nothing was done today. And this summit has actually brought it to another level, into a worst place.
And you're there on the ground. What's the perspective that you're hearing from other South Koreans, North Koreans, other folks in Singapore about this?
I have to say, in general, South Koreans are more optimistic. And that has a lot to do with the South Korean politics at the moment. And they just want peace on their peninsula. So it's not even politically induced. I mean, they're just right now, they're just happy that there's a meeting between these two leaders and nothing really beyond that. I think in the international sector, there's far more cynicism. In reality, you know, this was a big show. And honestly, what it felt like was just as if two big superstar celebrities were meeting. You know, the paparazzi and movie star, that's kind of what it was, because there's no real agreement. And these two are the biggest showmen in the world. And so we've seen really, I mean, when you're talking about the reality TV, that's kind of what we saw.
Suki Kim is a contributing editor for The New Republic and the author of Without You, There Is No Us, Undercover Among the Sons of North Korea's Elite. Thanks, Suki.
Thank you.
We now turn to Bill Richardson. He's a former governor of New Mexico and a former UN ambassador. He watched this summit unfold with the unique eye of someone who himself has negotiated with North Korea. Governor Richardson, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tanzina.
So let's dive right in. Based on what we know so far, what was your overall reaction to the summit?
Well, on the optics, on the personal connection between the two leaders, on the normalization of relations, on lessening tensions in the peninsula, I would say the summit was positive, historic in that sense. On the negative mix side, very little what the North Koreans gave up. No commitments on denuclearization, on ballistic missiles, just a promise to negotiate. Very little mention of verification and inspections, which in the past have led the North Koreans to basically cheat on previous agreements. The concessions that we have made, reduction, military exercises, security guarantees for North Korea, in other words, not try to depose Kim Jong-un, I think are appropriate, but I would have wanted the North Koreans to give up something tangible, and they really didn't. But we are starting a process. I think the devil's in the details. The jury's out.
Now, the two leaders did sign a document. It's unclear how binding that document is. Can you give us some insight into that?
Well, you know, this happens at summits between presidents and leaders, and then they're either followed through or not. My worry is that the document is not binding. It doesn't have timelines. It doesn't have commitments. It doesn't have legs. It doesn't have verification, just commitments to negotiate. Now, the positive side is that the Secretary of State, Pompeo, has met Kim Jong-un twice. He's been to North Korea. He salvaged the summit. So he, I assume, will assemble a team to talk about the important issues here, missiles, nuclear weapons, their destruction, their freezing of these technologies to hit the United States, Japan, South Korea. I would have wanted a little more discussion on human rights in North Korea. There was very little mention, although the president did mention something that's very important to me, and that is the return of remains of our soldiers from the Korean War. And I brought seven of those remains back in 2007 during the Bush administration. So that's positive. But again, nothing tangible, no meat on the bones on that issue.
And, Governor, you've negotiated with North Korea in the past. What was your expectation? Did you see what you expected to see from Kim Jong-un?
Well, I expected more in terms of the nuclear and ballistic missile side, because Kim Jong-un himself was directly involved. But the familiar pattern emerged again when I negotiated with the North Koreans. They never say yes. They always want you to take the first step. They're vague on commitments and timelines. And this is what happened again. But I'm not saying the summit on the negotiating of ballistic missiles and nuclear is failed. we'll wait and see. Let's see what happens. I think there's a negotiating process that is emerging with significantly less tension than has occurred before. So the jury's out, but, you know, I give them the benefit of the doubt to do the best they can.
So I guess I'm wondering if you see there have been some critics that said the United States is basically giving North Korea a platform and basically playing into its own propaganda machine with this summit. Do you it sounds like you don't agree with that.
Well, I do think that North Korea is going to use the summit as a great platform in North Korea to solidify Kim Jong-un's leadership role there. It's going to make Kim Jong-un a player on the world stage, being on the par with the American president. Yeah, I think it was a concession, but it's a concession that I think was risky, but correct. The past had not yielded any results, negotiating from the bottom up with special negotiators, ambassadors. So it was worth the risk. But yeah, North Korea ends up looking very good and giving up very little in this summit.
Well, and I also wonder if the tone, I mean, we know that the president has a pretty casual tone, if you will, in many of these press conferences. And he did sort of make a flip comment about perhaps changing his mind in a couple of months. He made a comment about North Korea's beautiful beaches and how they would be good real estate potential. What do you make of that? I mean, does that lessen the seriousness of this at all?
Well, you know, the president has his own unique negotiating style, much of it that I don't approve of, you know, with tweets and taunts and, you know, these meltdowns. You know, he's not going to change. So an institutional process needs to evolve and not just leave everything to, you know, presidential statements and then have a unified message led by the Department of State and Secretary Pompeo instead of all these other individuals commenting.
Bill Richardson is a former governor of New Mexico and former UN ambassador. Governor Richardson, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.